Now we'll read today's Bible passage. Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29. Now I'll read. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered all over the whole earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be a slave of Japheth." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ today. We know that we are sinners, and we know, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. He died on the cross and was resurrected. And in this way, all people can be called a child of God. Dear Jesus, we know that we can live in light, so please provide us the guidance to do so. We ask that the Holy Spirit allow our hearts to always be pure before the Lord. Please help us in that way. Dear God, allow us to walk with you in our lives and allow everything to be used for good. In our lives, Lord, we ask that you use everything for your glory and we can experience your love and enjoy and share it with the others. Please use us, Lord, in this way. We're about to hear a message today from Pastor Anjiki. We ask that you bless him abundantly. We thank you for everything and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Today, the sermon's title is The Cloak of Love, and we'll be hearing a word of God from the passage that was read just a moment ago. In the U.S., in the area of Brooklyn, New York, there was once a time when there was a wonderful church that existed there. And into the entryway of it, in the stairwell, there was this young black boy who was sitting there, and he was crying. And there was a man who came along and saw him and said, "Well, what's wrong?" And the young boy said to him, "I really want to know about God more, and that's why I came to this church." But the person at the church, the door, said, "If you have dark skin, then you can't come in this church." And then I was tossed out. And this was a church that apparently was just for white people at the time. And the man told the boy, "Well, then I won't be able to go into this church either." And the little boy asked him, "Who are you?" And he says, "My name is Jesus Christ." Over 2,000 years ago, God came to earth in the form of a man of Jesus Christ. What kind of image do you have of him? It's not, he didn't have white skin and blue eyes. He would have been Jewish. He would have had dark hair and a beard and dark eyes and would have had a dark skin complexion as well. In today's passage, actually, it's talking about how this passage was used actually as an example of why slavery was okay, supposedly back in America and Europe and so on. But if you read it, can you really come to that conclusion that slavery is okay? Let's look at it really carefully today and think about that. Prior to this was the story about the flood of Noah. And Noah and his family spent a period of about a year in the ark. They were finally able to leave, and God promised that he would never flood the entire world and kill off humanity in that way. And as a sign of that covenant, God showed us a rainbow. God told Noah's family to once again to spread around the earth and fill it. And that's how he commanded them. Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were mentioned as well. In verse 19, it says how the people came from them and have scattered all over the whole earth. So everyone is from the family of Adam and also from Noah. Today, here, there are many people from different countries, but we're all descendants of Noah. We are all the Noah family. And the three sons of Noah actually made all of the different groups of ethnic people around the world. After the flood, the ark rested on the mountain of Ararat. That mountain is located in present-day Turkey and Iran, the border there. So they came out of the ark, Noah and his three sons, and their descendants spread around the world from there. The descendants of Shem actually went to the Euphrates area, and so that's the area they lived in. Ham's descendants went south and went to the continent of Africa. As for Japheth's descendants, they went north and went to the European area. In this way, the three sons of Noah went to different areas of the earth. The detailed information is actually provided in chapter 10, but today we're looking at 9. However, they do mention here how Ham was the son of Canaan, a father of Canaan, sorry. So why is it all of a sudden mentioned here about that? Well, actually, there is something that happened here, and that involved Canaan as well. And so here, that's why it says Ham was the father of Canaan. Due to the flood, nature changed dramatically. However, God wanted to bless the nature once again and have the four seasons, fall, winter, spring, summer, and enabled the earth to be able to regenerate by spreading seeds and so on. Noah proceeded, it said, to plant a vineyard in verse 20. And from that, he made wine, and then he drank it. And actually became drunk. And when you become drunk, you become hot. So it seems that that's possibly why he took off all his clothes and that he was sleeping in his tent. Noah was said to be walking with God. But here in today's passage, he makes a great mistake. Anyone who has been drunk before would understand that alcohol distorts your mind. It doesn't allow you to concentrate well. If you have a straight of a normal mind, you can think clearly, but with alcohol, that's not the case. If you're drunk, for example, you may vomit on the street or sleep on the road or in a full train with a lot of passengers, there's old guys who like do inappropriate things to young women. Or also people sometimes have drunk driving accidents as a result of drinking too much alcohol. And these are all very unfortunate things. These are things that are actually very embarrassing too. Actually, the Bible gives warning about alcohol. For example, in Proverbs 20, it says, "Wine is a mocker and a beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." In other words, it just says what alcohol will do to you and what the result of drinking it is. And it says that these people are not wise to drink it. And if you go to Proverbs 23:29, it has a lot of a bigger description here. It says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I didn't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink?" You can sometimes realize the people who are drunk don't, you know, get hurt and don't even realize what happened, and they wake up injured because they were hurt in such a state. This is what it's mentioned here in this passage. In the New Testament, it also gives a warning by Paul in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. People who drink wine often use an excuse about why it, and you've probably heard it before. They say, "Alcohol is the best medicine. It's like better than medicine. If you just drink a little bit, you know, that'll fix your problems." And this is actually a phrase that's taken out from a Chinese classic entitled Essays of Idleness. However, after this part in the classic, it says, "Alcohol is the best medicine, but the cause of all kinds of diseases." And that's the whole phrase. But people just take the first half of it and pretend that it's saying that alcohol is the best for you. In the Japanese classics, it also has a phrase about this. And in this, in section number 175, it states that even though alcohol can be considered the best medicine, wine causes the most diseases. And so that's why he's actually saying to not drink for health reasons. Do you understand? If you look at old documents, it sometimes states that instead of not drinking at all, it's said that if you drink a little bit, it's actually good for you. It's called a J curve. So if you don't drink at all, rather than that, just drinking a little bit is actually good for you. And it supposedly is good to keep you from getting a mitochondrial infarction or a stroke. That's what's been said in the past in the medical realm. However, in the recent years, it's found that this is kind of a little incorrect. For example, in 2018, it's been stated in Lancet, a medical magazine, that compared to non-drinkers, anyone who drinks one cup a day actually has a higher risk for 23 different health issues, increasing by 0.5%. So compared to someone who doesn't drink at all, it increases 0.5% risk. If they drink 2 cups a day, it increases by 7%. If you drink 5 cups of alcohol a day, this risk increases by 37%. So if you're thinking from a health perspective, it's best not to drink alcohol at all. And this is the most recent data in the medical field. Up until now, it's been said that just like smoking, that there was nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. And that was what was told even by the medical profession. However, if you think about it here, Noah's situation here was actually something dishonoring. And after the flood happened, he was able to live 350 more years. But in this period of 350 years, the only thing that's mentioned about what Noah did was that he got drunk. And it states that his son and grandchildren saw him as well. And how that actually, unfortunately, greatly impacted his descendants as well. So the three sons that saw his father naked, what did they do? Their response was different. Looking at verse 22, it states that Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. So he says, look, there's dad. He's sleeping and he's naked. And he called his two brothers over to tell them that and show him. If you think about it, well, it's just he was just telling the truth, right? So, and it was actually Noah who was at fault, right? But why is it that after this, when Noah found out what had happened, in verses 24 and 25, he's upset? He says, when Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers. He was extremely upset about here. So it just from laughing at his father who was naked, it seems that this is kind of a strange response or going too far. People who have read the Bible up to this point may have a lot of question marks about like what exactly went on here. People who are actually paying attention anyway. People who... who aren't questioning what's going on here would just maybe pass on by. For example, you might question why when Noah's sons are listed, they are listed as Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and it's always listed in the same order. Usually, your sons would be listed with the oldest first and then down to the youngest, starting with the oldest, going to the youngest. But for Noah's sons, they're always listed in the order of in this way. And Ham is all of a sudden the youngest here. You may wonder, why is that listed in that way? Actually, in verse 22, it states that Ham, the father of Canaan, or that's how he's explained here, and in verse 24, it's the term youngest son is used as well. And so you can understand this in the order of birth. He actually had 4 sons. And if you look at chapter 10, it actually states the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. So you can see that Canaan was actually the youngest. So Ham was the one who had him. And that's the meaning of it here. So here you would understand what this explanation is. As for the descendants of Canaan, they are the Canaanites, and they would come out of Egypt by Moses and go into the promised land, and that is the land of Canaan. And that's where they lived, and that's why it was called that. And then when the Israelites came, the Canaanites were not happy about the Israelites coming in, and they were just always upset with them and trying to get them to do idol worship and so on. And that's why God told them, those people, to get them out of there. And that is the reason for the cause of that, as I've mentioned here. The second question you may have about this passage is how the father Ham laughed at his naked father, but why is it that the son had to be cursed because of this? This is just a guess, but looking at the situation, it's possible that actually the grandchild Canaan was the first to see his grandfather Noah and laughed at him, and then found his father to came call him, and so they both did something that wasn't right. Canaan was brought into the picture as well. And then the third question you may have is how this father who was drunk and naked, why is it that when he woke up, he would actually curse some of his descendants? It's possible that this can be, the cause of this can be found out in verse 24, because it says, when Noah awoke from his wine, in other words, when he was thinking clearly again, and found out what his youngest son had done to him. Here it says, done, the emphasis is on done to him. So you may wonder, what did he do to him? It wasn't just that he looked at him and laughed, because that wouldn't, in and of itself, wouldn't have been so serious. If it's likely that if he had just laughed, you know, Noah wouldn't have even noticed because he would have been sleeping. However, if Noah noticed something that had been done to him that was still physically on him, then it would have been an issue. So in verse 22, it says that Ham the father came and saw his father's nakedness. And this word saw here actually has a meaning of something that is of a different meaning. In other words, Ham injured his or did something inappropriate to Noah. The word saw here is used in Leviticus, and it's used in the same way there, 10:7, 20:17. If a man marries his sister, the daughter of either his father or his mother, and they have sexual relations, it is a disgrace. They are to be publicly removed from their people. So, you know, it isn't just that if you saw your sister naked, that you would be tossed out of their family. This word look at or see is referring to some kind of sexual relations. And this, you could understand, would be a reason for being quite upset. You can see how this whole in people would be, one, it was said to be publicly removed in Leviticus. So when it's saying that they saw Noah naked, that's inferring to something quite more serious than just looking at. And that is the reason for the cursing. And that's why Noah likely cursed him in light of this. And there were also, you remember, his other two sons, Shem and Japheth. And if you look at their response, you can see in verse 23 that they took a garment across their shoulders, then walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father naked. So these two brothers first took action by Shem getting the garment. And the garment is in just singular form, so it's just inferring that one of them took the garment, and you can see that here was Shem, and Japheth was helping, and they're like, we're not going to look at this, and they walked in backwards and covered it over so that that would be the case. And God was pleased with what they had done, and in this way, Noah blessed them. For us in this present day, there's something we can learn from this. In this era, it's the era of the internet, and anything we say can go live around the world in just an instant. People's mistakes or people's anger, these kinds of things can be put on the internet just instantly. And people can be very hurt by this and have secondary and tertiary pain in light of this. And some people even take their lives in light of this. There are so many unfortunate cases in regards to these things. If you see somebody's mistake, you want to tell it to others, but you may want to tell others, but I encourage you to stop, think about it, and think about what Jesus said. Jesus said, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. From God's perspective, we are all sinners, and we're not that different from anybody else. And so we need to remember that. There's many mistakes that people make, and in light of this, we need to be careful and remember that God isn't pleased with us making poking fun at such things. We need to have a cloak of love and take that into our response. Are you doing such a thing? Are you doing such a thing in your life? Play on Japanese words. So let's read once again. Here it says, when Noah awoke from his wine, he found out what his youngest son had done to him. And then he said, he cursed Canaan. First in verse 25, it says, cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers. From here, you can understand that Canaan was involved in some form to the Ham's sin. And Ham was also involved with this. What's important here is that the descendants of Ham, there were some that would be of black descent. And you can see how some people unmistakably understood that this was a good reason for slavery for people of black skin color. But if you read it really carefully, that's not what it says. Ham's children, there were four of them. And if you look, it states there are Cush, which are the Ethiopian people, Mizraim were the Egyptians, Put were the Liberians, and then Canaan is the Canaanites. So these are all the different. And Canaan is the only one that was cursed, not these others. So this is not a reason for racism or slavery or anything of the sort. And in response to Shem, it says in verse 26, praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. If you look in history, you can see that the descendants of Shem came forth to have Abraham. And Abraham is the descendants of those of other people to come. So you can see of all humanity are actually came from the Jews, which is from them. So first, there was the Savior from the Jewish descent of Jesus. And then the Bible is actually said to be left behind from the Jews. So everything we have, from a lot of things we have from God, can be traced back to the people of Jewish descent. And we can see that they truly were blessed. Then for Japheth, in verse 27, it says, may God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be the slave of Japheth. And Japheth means actually to spread out. And the descendants of Japheth actually went to Europe. And in that way, they spread all over and increased in number and made a financial impact as well. And actually, from Paul's missionary work, it actually helped spread the church and Christianity. So that's exactly what happened here to what it means by Japheth, live in the tents of Shem. This actually did come to pass. They used this cloak of love not only to protect themselves, but also to allow blessing upon their descendants. In this world, who is the greatest person with a cloak of love? It's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ on the cross died for us, taking all of our sin upon himself. And the cloak of love that he has put upon us, telling us that we are forgiven and that we are loved. And this cloak of love is something I hope that you will remember. And I realize that and realize that this is applied to you as well. Please keep this as part, keep this in remembrance, and be encouraged by it. There was once a woman wrote on the internet. This is good information now. She said that she, when she was 5 or 6 years old, she had this conversation with her mom, and she said to her mom, she said, "Well, my favorite thing are these glass beads, and this, and it's this necklace, a necklace of glass beads." And she was, you know, 5 or 6, so you know that would have been pretty important. And she said, "This is my treasure." And so she asked her mom, "What's your treasure, mom?" And mom said to her, "Well, of course I know what that is. It's you." And the girl was so happy to hear her mom say that. And so she wrote on the internet, after 20 years or so, there were many times where people had done bad things to her, the little girl, and there were many things that she didn't even want to go on living. But every time she was faced with a difficulty, she would always remember what her mom had said to her and how her mom said that she was her treasure. So the power of love truly is something amazing. So when she was 5 or 6, when her mom said, "You are my treasure," those words supported her throughout her whole life. She could realize, even in difficult times, that she was of huge value to her mom. Sometimes people may not have a mother who had that opinion of their child, but you can refer to Isaiah 43:4. "You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you." You can see that God tells all of us this. And in this way, he places the cloak of love on us. Jesus has a cloak of love placed on us and says that it tells us to love one another as I have loved you. In other words, we are to love others. As I explained to you or asked you earlier, have you put on the cloak of love? You didn't send your cloak of love to the dry cleaners, did you? Or say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I only have a children's version and not the adults," or something. But please remember that this cloak of love is from Jesus. And I encourage you to use it in your lives. It's been 40 years now since I've been a pastor here at this church. And there was something I first always asked the people here when there was only like a congregation of 20. And that was to always not to judge others, but to always be kind to each other, regardless of what happens. If you judge others, then there's nothing good that will come of it. So regardless of what you see, whether it's bad points about people or so on, to always do your best to love them and to love the others. And that's what I've always said. And thanks to their cooperation and so on. And that's become a cultural aspect of this church. The people who have come recently to this church, I hope you will also be part of that instead of having the desire to be put down by others and repeatedly told you're no good. So if that's your desire, please change that and have the desire to want to be loved by others. And in that way, this entire congregation can truly be a church that loves each other and will support each other as well. We can keep this cloak of love and have that be a part of it as we grow together. Let's cooperate and do so. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to learn from today's passage how we can see how the acts of one person unfortunately had a bad impact on their descendants and many others as well. Allow us to remember how Jesus has put a cloak of love upon us and allow us to rest and be freed and to be encouraged by him and healed as well. We thank you for accepting us, Lord. And we who can experience your love, allow us to have the desire to be able to share that love with others and grow in you. as we are working together here at the church, Lord, allow us to know how to love each other even more and provide guidance in that way. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a moment to pray together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this coming week, and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements in close today. Today, we would like to welcome a first-time visitor. There's